I'm just going to begin anyway.
You have to wait
an
hour before you go in after swimming.
Shut up, Sean.
Like that.
Welcome, folks. It's the Dude Wait What podcast, and with me today are Sean.
Hello! I'm back from BotCon.
Jamie.
Hi, everybody.
And Bob.
Hello.
And today we have kind of a sporadic show planned. It's kind of thrown together at the last minute. But hey, it's us. We're here, and less Transformers talk this week, maybe.
Yes, we're here. Get used to it.
Right,
with Margin in charge, yay!
So this week, all right, let's kind of just go around the table and talk about what we've been playing this week. Let's start with Bob. Bob, what have you been playing this week?
Nothing.
Nothing at all?
I haven't played a single video game this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Sorry.
You're kind of boring. Jamie, what have you been playing?
I have been playing War for Cybertron.
Uh-huh, how's that going for you?
It's alright, I'm on the last chapter of the Autobot campaign, Fighting Trypticon.
I'm surprised you haven't finished that yet.
No, not quite yet. He's a bucket of defeat.
Are you playing on...
you never did that.
Pardon?
No. Who's talking, me or you?
You go ahead, Bob.
I was just going to say, didn't you start with the Autobot campaign? Did you not finish it?
No, because I stopped the Autobot one and finished the Decepticon one.
John, it's taking you ages to do that game. You suck.
To be fair, though, I think Omega Supreme is actually easier to beat than Trypticon is.
Of course he is. Trypticon's the final boss of the game.
Yeah.
Omega Supreme's like the middle boss.
So have you tried any of the online, Jamie? What's it like on the PSN?
It's not too bad. I don't think it lags as much as the Xbox one does.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let me ask you something. PSN related, you and Bob both actually. Have you guys seen anything about the PSN Plus that launched this week? Has that impacted you in any way yet?
I haven't looked at it at all.
I don't think we've got it in the UK yet.
Oh, it may
just
be in the US.
Why, then.
Okay. It did launch this week in the US, and a lot of people are complaining that the cross game chat thing still isn't a part of it yet. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but that's what I've been hearing so far, and that's kind of lame. Anyway, Sean, what have you been playing this week?
Nothing.
God, you all suck.
Well, hey, I have a legitimate reason why I haven't been playing any video games.
Oh, yeah, you're off at BotCon.
Well, no, wait, I'll take that back. I got to play for about an hour War for Cybertron.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think of it?
Must buy Xbox or PlayStation 3.
Oh, yeah, sure, you go buy a PlayStation 3 and we won't be able to play online together. Yeah, sure, you go do that.
I could play Jamie.
Jamie doesn't want to play with you. Do you, Jamie?
Yes, I do. I can kick his ass.
You're supposed to be helping me out here, Jamie. Okay.
Jamie, you fail!
Well, I'm going to take up the slack for the rest of y'all this week because I've been playing lots of things.
Yeah, playing with yourself don't count.
Shut up, Sean. I've been playing War for Cybertron, as usual. I've been playing Super Street Fighter 4, getting a little bit better at that. I've been playing Magic the Gathering on the PC. I've also dragged out some old PS1 games that I've started playing today in a marathon session. I've been playing... Oh, what was the first one that I started playing? I've been playing Castlevania Symphony of the Night, Strider 2, Valkyrie Profile, and Einhander. Something German. So yeah, I've been doing a lot of gaming, at least today, if not for the whole week, and yeah, oh, and Super Street Fighter 4, I'm getting better as Dudley, so, yeah.
I just want to say something, though. Today, I have picked up some games.
What'd you get?
I got Theme Park World for the PC. For 49p.
Alright.
49p. Mm-hmm. I got Mercenaries 2 for the PC.
Hmm, okay.
For 49p.
Mm-hmm.
I got Splinter Cell Double Agent for the PC.
That's a good one, yeah, yeah.
49p.
Mm-hmm.
I got Myst 5 for 49p.
Are you buying these off of Steam?
No. I got these in GameStation. What was the other one I got? I got one
they
more.
They still sell PC games in stores? I was not aware.
Sonic Adventure DX.
Very nice. Well, not the best Sonic game ever made, but the DX version is certainly better than the Dreamcast version.
And for 49p, you're not going to sniff at it.
For a Sonic game? Hell no.
And Lego Batman. £3. Huh. I spent £5.50 on 6 games.
In Lego Batman's defense, that's actually a fairly long game. I still haven't finished it.
Lego Batman's a good game. I had it on the 360. I traded it in, and then I've bought this one for £3.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, there's no point getting it on the console. I got it for £3. Plug in my gamepad, I'm away.
There you go. Oh, and I also was playing a little bit of Super Mario Bros. 3 this morning because something blew my mind the other day that if anybody doesn't know, the airship music from Super Mario Bros. 3 and the song Am I Evil by Diamond Head, same song. I'm just going to put that out there. You can pause the podcast, go to YouTube, look them both up, same song. And actually, our good friend George, who is a friend of the podcast, told me that it is actually based on a piece of classical music, if I can look this up real quick. George. What did George say it was based on? George said that it was based on... No, it's not on the on his thing. Yes, there's dead air in this podcast. I'm not going to apologize for that.
Hello. This is not okay. Us doing dead air.
George said both pieces are based on Mars, Bringer of War from Gustav Holst's Planet Suite. So thank you, George, for letting me know that. It's still a mind-blowing thing to hear. So yeah. Wouldn't be a week without me playing Super Mario Brothers, would it?
Yeah, because it makes you feel like a man.
Makes me feel like a man. So here's the thing, right? This week we have got not a great deal of video game news to talk about. There's something I wish Moon would have talked about. The new Pokemon series has been named in Japan, the anime series, that is. And it is being called, are you guys ready for this? Here's the name of it. Pokemon, Best Wishes.
Yeah?
What, are they leaving us? What, they're leaving going... Best wishes, we're getting the hell out of here.
Well, here's the reason why. It's kind of a play on words, as only the Japanese can do. First of all, best wishes, the initials of that phrase is BW, as in Black and White, which is the new Pokemon games. My guess is that they didn't actually want to call the series Black and White because they would have thought, you know, hey, why is the show in Black and White? Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of.
Because it's actually in North Korea, and then we realize in North Korea, it's all Black and White.
They also say that best wishes is to their Japanese knowledge what you say in English when somebody's going on a journey. To my knowledge, I just say see you later.
I say get the fuck out.
The other thing is, and here's where it becomes a play on words, is that the region in the series is called Ishin, or Ishis, Ishun, which in Japanese, you know, sounds like the word wishes. So, you know, there you go. Dollars to donuts, they're going to call it something different when it comes to the U.S. They're going to change that name. They probably will just go with Pokemon.
Goodbye!
Pokemon, sayonara.
Pokemon, you haven't left
profound
yet?
Profound sadness. Sorry.
You've been playing...
Pokemon, it's so fluffy, I'm going to die!
Oh, God. That meme will not end.
No. It's here to torment you for the rest of your life.
Yes, I know. So Moon wasn't here to pick up that news this week, although I would have liked to have heard his opinions and comments on it, which we'll probably ask him this next week and see what goes on with that.
Well, we already know. We have one friend of the show, Isa. We already know what she would say about it.
Yeah, to my knowledge about Isa, she'd say something incomprehensible and make me look at her strange again.
Well, actually, she would go like, "Hey, it's full of Zubats. Fuck off, Zubat." They're she hates Zubat. How useful is a Zubat?
Not very.
Relatively? No, they're relatively. They've got Confuse. Confuse is always good.
I have not played a Pokemon game since the first one. My ex-girlfriend
I haven't. That was in the first one, and yeah. I used to have one just for Confuse.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the earliest ones. And then you get an Abra, and then a Kadabra, and then an Alakazam, and then you just go, I don't need you, Zubat. Get back into the cage.
That's one thing that I've never liked about Pokemon, is the fact that once a certain Pokemon has outlived its usefulness, you just kind of chuck them away, and then... You know, I don't like that. It's always been a very poor design choice.
I wish there was a button. You can trade them.
Yeah.
You know, you can move them. Mm-hmm. You can set them free. I'm hoping for the turn to glue option.
Oh, God. Oh, God, Bob.
Turn to the glue factory.
Well, that's the only one you would use for Torosaur.
Actually, I'm thinking, here's the thing, right? There are people in this show called Pokemon breeders. You know, can't we just simply start crossbreeding Pokemon so we can inherit skills from others? I think that would be a brilliant gameplay mechanic.
What, would you like
no.
a Zubat that looks
no,
like
no, 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 no. That'd be a terrible, terrible thing to... terrible thing.
I think gameplay-wise, it'd be fantastic, because then you could have, like, all sorts of weird hacked shit, you know?
You
could
have,
like...
Well, you've got 500 Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. Now, you've got 500 Pokemon who can breed with every other Pokemon. So it's one Pokemon.
I never said with
every
other.
One of those Pokemon. Well, no, it's basically what you're implying, and that's what everyone would want. So you've got one Pokemon compared to 499 other Pokemon. Now try and comprehend the amount of Pokemon that will have to be created for that game.
No, see, you would only be able to breed them with compatible partners because, I mean, if you think about it, you know, a Snorlax and an Eevee, you know, the physical capability of that is just mind-boggling.
The thing I want is same-sex relationships in Pokemon.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
of course.
God.
We got to be equal, you know. That's all I'm saying.
I want to have that, and I want to have, you know, I want the Pokemon that, you know, that are colored, you know, not Lelo to be effectively represented. Because apparently, unless you're Lelo, nobody gives a shit about you in Pokemon. Mm. And for the record, Pikachu was shit in Pokemon and is still shit in Pokemon.
You can only get away with that this week because Moon isn't here.
No, I don't give a shit if Moon's here or not. Pokemon was never a viable electric Pokemon. We either got the animal that could be anything once you give it, would you stick a stone up its ass? What was that one called?
Eevee,
you stick a stone up its ass, became thunder, fire, whatever. And then you've got, and then you had Zapdos in the first one. I usually used to Zapdos. I never had a decent electric one today. I tried Pokemon, tried Pikachu, he was shit.
So
I tried making Raichu, he was shitter.
I went through the whole first game with just a... Well, it eventually leveled up into a Charizard? And just,
yeah,
I never used anything else other than him.
How did you win with just doing that?
Flame Dance or something, what it was called.
You struggle... The first gym you struggle against, because mm-hmm. you've got the rock Pokemon.
Oh, not me. Dude, not me. I grinded till I was, like, level 12 before even going there.
You hacked the game. You
I did not. No, I'm not Moon. I don't
get
hack
out.
The game.
I know, that's the point. Yeah, Moon. Moon declares his love for Pokemon. I want to say this while he's not here to defend himself. Ha ha, Moon. Ha ha. He declares his love for Pokemon, but the first thing he does is find the codes on Action Replay and
mm-hmm.
make sure his Pokemon level
mm-hmm.
something. This is
unlike,
not a joke. This
unlike
is
me,
federation.
Who's a real man, who'll do it on hard.
There isn't a hard option.
Well, there should be.
Toya making up stories. I did it on hard. I beat the giant bird Pokemon.
I meant generally, just like
Godzilla.
Any game I put on
I beat
hard.
Godzilla.
Godzilla, I choose you.
That's brilliant. Here you go. You meet a wild Godzilla. Pikachu, I choose. Oh. Godzilla uses bad halitosis. It's super effective. Everything in a four block radius is incinerated. Game over. Your save game has been deleted. What?
Well, as
you know, what you know, what I would use to counteract your Godzilla?
Uh huh.
Cthulhu.
God.
Because
no,
nobody control Cthulhu.
Pokemon can't comprehend Cthulhu. You right? Godzilla. You've got the average player of Pokemon is like 8.
Yes.
Right. Godzilla is comprehensible by an 8-year-old. What is Godzilla? The big fucking dinosaur that has bad halitosis that burns things. It's awesome. Right, okay, kid gets that.
8 years old are too young to remember Godzilla.
No, but you can explain Godzilla to him.
Yeah.
Godzilla, big dinosaur, bad halitosis. Awesome.
Grimlock.
Crack. What?
Grimlock. You just described Grimlock.
Yeah, but Grimlock's also got the element of being the daddy. Yeah, sure. We'll come back
to that
anyway.
Yeah, no, yes. We promise not as much Transformers talk this episode.
Yes.
Yes.
So that you've described to the 8-year-old Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
Now try to explain to an 8-year-old Cthulhu.
Hmm.
Try and explain that to a 24-year-old who's never heard of Cthulhu before.
I've actually tried doing that, but then again, most 24-year-olds I know are pretty dumb.
Except
you who's listening right now. You are the most awesome person who's ever lived. I love you.
He lies!
It's true, though. You can't put Cthulhu in Pokemon, Sean. I'm sorry, Sean. As much as it would be awesome just to be... You wake up with your Cthulhu game and... Everyone's been taken over by Cthulhu.
So, as Bob is talking about being naughty with Pokemon, let's talk about a game that came out this week called Naughty Bear.
What in the hell?
To be fair, right, the premise behind it isn't bad.
No, and I was actually sort of looking forward to it based on that premise, but after seeing some of the reviews, I'm not so much.
Well, it's not terrible. None of the reviews have said it's dog shit.
No.
But they really?
They've said it's essentially there's 35 levels of the game, but there's only 5 actual maps. So,
Yeah, but you see, they say maps, but does it mean style of map? I don't know. I haven't played the game, and I'll be honest, I haven't really looked that far into it.
Well, from what I understand, it essentially plays like Manhunt, if anybody remembers Manhunt. It plays like Manhunt, except with teddy bears, and apparently one of the teddy bears has been ostracized by the others, and he's had enough of it, and he's gone on a killing spree.
Cool. I like that.
Sounds awesome.
It does. It does sound awesome, but according to some of the reviews, and I'm skimming Jim Sterling's review of it from Destructoid, he says that there's a lot of repetition.
You love him.
I do
you
not love,
love
Jim Sterling.
Him.
I admire his journalism.
You admire his what?
His journalism. His journalism is quite large.
Oh, his journalism.
Yeah.
Is that what you're calling it now?
It's quite large and tasty. Nom 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 nom.
Nom noms?
In any case, there is multiplayer for the game, of which Jim Sterling says that he has not been able to get onto very many games. There's not a lot of people playing it. He's given it a 5.0. It's a mediocre game, and he doesn't seem to be that impressed by it. I was actually quite looking forward to this. I was hoping like a demo might have gotten put out or something. Haven't seen one yet. Yeah.
No, neither have I. It's a game that needs a demo, so people can make up their own minds. It's going to be one of those ones. But yeah, speaking of reviews...
Mm-hmm.
Massive segue.
Massive
segue. I mentioned to this about you earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
GameSpot.
Yes.
And their epic wisdom.
Oh, we need to talk about this. We need to retread some Transformer ground here right now to talk about War for Cybertron and the review that GameSpot did about War for Cybertron.
Well, to be fair to GameSpot, it's the reviewer.
It's
Tom McShay.
We're calling him up by name, huh?
I don't give a shit. He's shit. he's a bad reviewer. His review is bad. No, don't get me wrong. His opinion is that the game is a 6.5. Nothing wrong with that. It's his opinion on it.
Right.
It's his opinion that such and such things. Yes. However, when the review was originally put up, now bear in mind, the editor of GameSpot has since changed it.
Yes.
And left a note about it, which I'll comment on later.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it plays like a cover-based shooter without the cover mechanic.
So it's a shooter, is what you're saying.
This may not be in the original review. Well, yeah, this may not be in the original review. Now, basically, on game FAQs and / GameSpot forums, a guy called Vamp Fairy, he basically read it. I'm an idiot, right? Basically, he sent in a comment to them saying, you know, you've made some glaring errors. Basically, the first glaring error was that he said that the cover... Here we go, right. You continue to refer to this game as a cover-based shooter in the vein of Gears of War and lament its lack of lock-into-place cover mechanic. The use of cover in this game is minimal. That's like calling Halo a cover-based shooter. Cover is used, but it's hardly a core mechanic in the Gears of War. It's hardly a core mechanic as in Gears of War. This is a third-person action shooter, which is 100% correct. It is not Gears of War. other than the fact it's third-person.
Yes.
Also, in the original one, now this was the first thing they edited, they repeatedly referred to the game as Battle for Cybertron.
Wow.
The name is War for Cybertron. This is, bear in mind, I'm not citing the whole of GameSpot here. This is the one reviewer, Tom McShay. And
these errors have since been corrected, I would imagine.
Yes, they have. Mm-hmm. And the third one was, they state that there's never... He said that there was never moments for where transforming is necessary or strategically viable. Which
and
is blatantly false.
That is complete bullshit. Because there are moments in that game where if you do not transform, you will die. Isn't that right, Jamie, who's stuck on beating Triptychon? And Jamie just died, did he?
Yeah, he's died again, don't worry.
He's died again.
He'll get resurrected. He's like Optimus Prime, he comes back all the time.
So,
anyway.
Yeah. No,
so
there are parts of the game, not just in the single player, but in multiplayer, where it is advantageous to transform. Transforming is not only a core mechanic of the game... Yeah, it's basically part of your tactic. Especially in multiplayer, when you start getting shot at, sometimes the best thing to do is transfer. I play as leader. to get away from my opponent, the fastest thing to do is transform into a vehicle and use the dash ram, but not towards him, away from him, because that is the fastest you can move as a vehicle.
Plus, if you run out of ammo in robot mode, you need to transform because that's got more ammo.
Yeah.
But the point that he was making, they then got into a discussion with him about his errors and everything, mm-hmm. and he said, he complained that it was, you know, it'd been a long day and it was hard.
Come on.
And that's why he misspelled the name of the game.
I'm sorry. No. Let me get something straight here.
It's his job.
I write for Tomopop.com, and I have a brilliant editor whose name is Colette Bennett. She is probably the best editor I've ever had in my life. If I were to make a mistake such as that, she would chew my ass out. Yeah, because it's your job to get these things right. Your job is to get facts right.
Exactly.
One of my other writers, Anthony De Pasquale, called me out on an error I made in an article. I had incorrectly referred to a toy as, I think it was Dark Mount, and I said by accident that it was supposed to be Jihaxis, which was wrong. It's supposed to be Straxis. And De Pasquale pulled me aside in a conversation and said, hey, look, you put the wrong name. I'm like, oh, crap. I went in and fixed it. And thankfully, I had fixed it like a few minutes after the thing had gone live, and not a lot of people caught it. So you'd think that if they have other people reading the site who caught these things and read his article, they might have said something to him. Let him change it before it goes live.
But this is what happened, right? People, not necessarily people read it. I mean, to be fair to the editor, they reviewed a lot of games around that week. A lot of stuff came out. So I can understand if the editor had a quick scan through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, read it and knocked it. So I'm honestly not going to go on a big tangent about things that they could have done better and everything like that.
Yeah.
Now, the big thing was he got in a right stink about transforming and about the cover mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now he really does. He doesn't consider the times when you have to transform. Say, for example, in the bit before the final battle of Omega Supreme, when you're on the bridge and everything, and you've got to drive.
If he walked that whole thing. Jesus
Christ. Well, that's the thing. He didn't. But he said, that's not really the same thing, because the game makes you drive.
No, it doesn't. The game never tells you to drive. The only reason I drove that portion is because my CPU teammates transformed and started driving. And I took that as a cue. I took that as the developers telling me, look, your partners are transforming. That might mean something bad is coming. You need to start driving. The game never makes you do it. The game never tells you to transform.
But that's...
It implies it, and that's good game design, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. And the worst thing was, right, he said, right, this is... I'm trying to get it right. He basically said, because I can't find it exactly in the massive, massive 27-page game FAQs forum topic. Mm-hmm. And he said that, well, it does play like Gears of War. It does play like a cover-based shooter. And when the guy kept making the point of, well, in that case, every other game that doesn't have a cover-based mechanic is a cover-based shooter, a.k.a. Halo.
Uh-huh.
Fuck it, Tomb Raider. That's obviously a cover-based shooter. It's the same logic.
How about Mario Bros.?
You know what he says to stuff like that? He said to that?
Yeah.
Well, it's my opinion.
What?
It's my opinion.
No.
It's not your opinion. It's incorrect. You're just wrong. You're an idiot. You have no dick. And you're wrong. The guy's an idiot, right? And then eventually the editors went back and they changed it. The first thing they changed was the name errors.
Mm-hmm.
Then they went back and changed the point where he says that you never have to transform. He changed it to you don't. There's not often a necessity to transform in the game, which is fair enough, right? That is true. There's not often a necessity to transform.
Most people do it because they want to move faster.
Well, yeah, but no. If you want to move faster, you transform.
Yeah, but it's not as blatantly wrong as his first statement.
No. It becomes an opinion-based
thing,
which is fine. Mm-hmm. He's a reviewer, it's fine.
Yeah.
Again, you know, his opinion is not the problem here with how he felt the game worked. It took sending messages to the editor to get it to change about the cover mechanic.
Yeah.
And at the end of the review now, it says, editor's note, this review originally contained incorrect information regarding the game's cover system. Mm-hmm. This review has been amended accordingly, and GameSpot regrets the error.
Now, I just want to say something.
He still has a job.
Yeah.
Right?
I want to say something here, Bob. You and me and Sean and Jamie here, we do this out of love for video games. We do this on our weekends in our spare time. This is not our day job, okay? And I sympathize with the people whose day job it is. They have a relatively hard job. Let's be honest. Playing video games for a living is not easy as much as you might think it might be. We talked to our friend of the show, Brad Nicholson, who said that, you know, it sometimes you have a lot of games to play. Sometimes it's games you don't want to play. So it is tough. But at the end of the day, it's still a job. And if this guy messed up that badly, some sort of action has to be taken. I'm sorry.
Well, this is the thing. This is what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. You remember Kane and Lynch?
Oh, can we? Do we want to bring this up? That whole thing? Because
There's a valuable. There's a valid point with this, right?
Okay.
The gentleman responsible for the Kane and Lynch thing, right?
Jeff Gertzman.
For whatever reason, yeah, he was fired, and mm-hmm. they said because his review was not up to the standard expected of GameSpot.
Yeah.
That's why he was fired, right? Now, whether that's the correct reason or not, we're not going to get into. We weren't there.
Please, okay? Yes. Let's not get into that.
No, I'm not getting involved in that.
Okay.
What I'm saying is he was fired because his review was not up to the standard of GameSpot.
Right.
What the fuck is this?
Mm-hmm. Because if that's their new standard, I ain't liking that.
Well, it's not. They've already made a point of saying that it's an error, and they apologize, and they regret it. They never said they're sorry, but they regret the error, which is fine. You don't necessarily have to apologize for it. But Tom McShay still has a job at GameSpot. Why? Fuck him, he's shit. His review actually isn't that good. It's poorly written. It's in English. He's got paragraphs.
To be fair, Bob, I think there is actually a serious drop in the quality of journalism, whether it be print journalism or web journalism, within the last, let's say, 5 or 6 years.
Let's look at IGN as well. I mean, IGN's really, he gave it 6.5. Again, his score is not a problem. If he feels the game deserves that, that's fine. I mean, at best, I'm sure we'll all agree, at best, the game deserves an 8. At the very best.
Yeah.
I personally
it's not a masterpiece. I thought the single player was way too short, and I think the multiplayer is a little unbalanced, but could be better. It's not going to win any Game of the Year awards for me, but I will admit, full disclosure, that I am a huge Transformers fan. And because of that, my opinion is colored a certain way. And I will keep that game in my collection almost forever because I enjoy the game for being a Transformers game. I will say that right now.
I love the game. Mm-hmm. I love the game for the same reasons. And for the transformerness of it, this is the same thing I said with Force Unleashed when that came out. For the Star Wars and story element of Force Unleashed, that game gets an 8 for me.
Yes.
However, with just taking Force Unleashed as its core mechanic, it gets a 7. Mm-hmm. What it actually gives you. Same thing with War for Cybertron. It only gets a 7 out of 10. His score isn't that far off, right? Because he's right. There's a lot of problems with the game. Ammo is a problem, regardless of what people say. I know some people go, you just transform, you just shoot better. It still can be quite scarce in places.
I talked about that when we did our review of it.
Exactly. They haven't quite got the balance right of when you need ammo.
Mm-hmm.
There's times when you're in an abundance of ammo, and there's other times you've got no ammo. They need to sort that out.
I think what the problem is, honestly, the clips are way too small.
Yeah. But yeah, this is it. Now, I'm not here to just dislike GameSpot, because IGN gave it a 9.
I don't think it deserves a 9.
That is way out. Yeah. Their review isn't very good either.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I just want to make sure I'm not just slaying GameSpot. I haven't particularly liked GameSpot's reviews for some time. But IGN, I've disliked for a hell of a lot longer. This is a perfect example. 9 for that game. Seriously, that is a true fanboy doing a fanboy review.
No, well, here's the thing, Bob. You and I are Transformers fanboys. And I had a friend of mine ask me as most recently as yesterday. He was like, did you get War for Cybertron? I'm like, yeah, I love it. He says, well, I'm probably going to get it this weekend. I said, hang on a minute. First of all, this person, my friend, does not play online very much. I'm like, the single player is very short. You will probably be disappointed with how short it is. For him, who does not play online, I say wait until it comes down in price, or if you want, I'll lend you my copy. I'll borrow Red Dead Revolver from you, and we'll have a little trade-off, but I have Red Dead Redemption. I have a feeling he'll be done with Transformers way before I'm done with Red Dead Redemption. I'm just saying that right now. Yeah.
So it's when you get Red Dead, we can do some online.
Yes. But what we're saying is at the end of the day, you're reviewing a game. Your personal feelings do enter into it. I mean, it's a review. It's an opinion.
Yes.
But you have to also consider the opinions of people.
Facts.
You have to consider facts, and you also have to consider the opinions of people who may not share your point of view. I'm not saying has to be about that, but I'm saying that has to be considered.
I think IGN's review is a perfect example of people not knowing, like we just did, how to separate What is fandom? Mm-hmm. What is fanboy love? And what is a necessity?
Yes.
You know what I mean? What is actually important about the game? What actually the game's about? And ooh, look at the shiny important story bits. Right?
Yeah.
That's what IGN did wrong. What Tom McShay did at GameSpot. I'm gonna keep calling him out because he's an idiot.
What he did was not his job. That's not
what he did was basically just go, I can't be asked to do my job properly at this moment in time, so I'm just going to throw up any shit.
But he defended it, which is what pisses me off. He defends his poor journalism.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. He just went, well, this is my opinion. And the guy said to his credit, he said, no, your opinion is the score, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. I don't agree with it, but I don't have a problem with that. But my problem is that you've just got plainly incorrect information. And then he just went, no, don't. It's just my opinion. He could not accept it. Could not accept that it's not a cover-based shooter.
That sort of attitude.
And then we had some... I just want to say one more thing.
Yeah.
There's another guy in the thread who jumped up in his defense who said, oh, yeah, it's true. I'm getting fed up of hiding in cover and getting shot because my elbow's sticking out.
What?
And I just went, what is wrong with gamers today that they can't play a game and get in cover without having a button to press to get in cover properly? What the fuck is wrong with you that you cannot go, duck, move? Oh, I'm behind something. What hard bit of it? You're in third person as well. You can see exactly what's sticking out. What the hell is wrong with you? These people shouldn't be allowed to play video games. They should be tied to a chair and beaten.
Bob, I have a scarier thought for you. Those people are probably out there driving. They're probably out, you know, having kids. That's a scarier thought.
He's just had a car crash. He's complained that there wasn't an auto brake mechanic in it. And then he complained that the damage was on and there wasn't a function to turn off damage for his car. Too hard. You can't do it. A fucking twat. That guy was... I can't be asked to find out his game FAQ's name, but he's a dick. He's just as bad as the reviewer, if not worse. But yeah, thanks for Vamfrey on the game FAQ forums. You're amazing. And fuck you, Tom McShay.
Lovely. So, again, I do want to make it known that none of us here are paid for what we do. We do this out of a love for video gaming. We're all very hardcore gamers, and we just don't like to see it when a game that, especially a game that personally involves us in terms of being fans of it, is blatantly misrepresented in the gaming press. That's something that should not happen, especially for people who are being paid for it.
I was going to say, I don't like someone like to see someone who's doing a job that I would like to do fuck it up. And then just get a slapped wrist.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of budding journalists who would love an opportunity to post on a forum and get paid for it, who haven't got a job, because this dickhead still has his.
Right, so at the risk of making, you know, GameSpot and IGN mad, which, you know, at this point, I don't think we actually care.
Who really gives a shit?
Just as long as the fine people at Destructoid keep putting out their reviews. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be shilling
Destructoid. I've been reading Destructoid after you started pointing to me. No. I have yet to find the first problem with any of their reviews. I don't necessarily agree with all their reviews, which is fine. It's an opinion-based system. We all know this. We all accept this.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't gone home and gone, that's wrong. Or
no, personally, I will shill for Destructoid and say that they're people that they hire are people who know gaming intimately, and their podcasts are great, and you know, it's not because I work for Modern Method Network or anything, but full disclosure, I do write for Tomopop, which is part of Destructoid, so I will say that right now, but
I
have liked Destructoid far longer than that. I have been a fan of their reviews because their reviewers are knowledgeable about not just the game that they're talking about, but about the history of gaming, so they can speak from depth of experience. And that's the kind of thing I look for. Right now, even in terms of game magazines, I miss EGM because right now all I'm left with is GamePro, and I do not like GamePro. Their writers piss me off something awful.
Well, this is the thing, right? I am the most opinionated person on the planet.
No, really?
And I have to say, if I didn't like something, I'd say I like Destructoid. I don't read it a lot because, to be honest, I read publications in the UK more often. I read Games Master magazine, which, although in places is a bit nonsensical, is actually a very good magazine and puts some very good points across as to why games are good and why they fail.
Yeah.
And PC Gamer, which is easily the best PC magazine on the planet for gaming. Hands down, PC Gamer UK is loads better. I've read the US one, it's shit in comparison. Honestly, PC Gamer UK, if you're in the US, you're in the UK, you can import it. It's a little bit more. Trust me, it's worth the money. It's so much better.
So
check them out online as well.
Are we at this point in our thing reviewing reviewers? Is that what we're doing?
I think we are. I think we're doing a bit of a. I think we're starting to fall down. Actually, no. The only reviewer I'm going to name is Tom McShay because he's shit.
Well, let's talk about. Okay, as we're talking about people, let's talk about people in the games industry who are not reviewers. Let's talk about David Jaffe. David Jaffe, a lot of you may know, is the creator.
Good segue.
That's a terrible segue. David Jaffe is the creator of God of War. He's the creator of God of War as well as Twisted Metal. And he's come out last week saying he's come out very vocally against the concept of multiplayer unlocks. Now, we've all played stuff like Modern Warfare 2, Transformers Warfare, Cybertron, where the more you play, the more weapons and abilities you unlock. And the argument...
Team Fortress 2 is another example. They added that later.
The argument goes that you put this into the game to have people play longer, to keep their interest up. And what David Jaffe is saying is that that's a cheat. He's saying that your game should, in its core, have good gameplay mechanics that keep people coming back to it, as opposed to, hey, can I get this number higher? You know, and I have to say, I'm going to be kind of controversial here, I actually for once agree with David Jaffe.
It's not controversial. I have said this from the start, mm-hmm. have I not, that I hated playing Call of Duty Online because I was stuck. It was like, remember that match? The last match I played, before I got rid of my copy of Modern Warfare 2,
uh-huh.
was against a bunch of people with Akimbo Bloody Rangers.
Mm.
And you can't play. You can't win because that gun is so pathetically broken.
And the worst part is they've actually patched that to make it less powerful. It was worse before.
I know, but that's the thing. They haven't... It's got a range of a rifle
mm-hmm.
as a shotgun. As a short sawn-off shotgun as well, I like to point out. Sawn-off fucking shotgun. So you're firing with two hands,
mm-hmm.
and it's more accurate than an assault rifle with a sight and has a better range. It is. Over the distance of like well, fuck, I don't know what the distance is in the game, but you know what I mean? Like, a normal range when you've got the red dot sight on a rifle or the holographic sight mm-hmm. on an assault rifle, when you engage people and you get accurate shots, the Akimbo Rangers are more accurate, more powerful than that.
Now,
and people would run around in packs and they shoot everyone with it. And if you don't have Akimbo Rangers, you can't compete. And then you end up just sitting there getting killed numerous times. And people go, no, you suck. I don't suck. I just haven't had enough time to put as much time into the game as you have, because you're not particularly good either, because you lost still, despite the fact of that. And it just does my head in. I just want to be able to... It's like Halo. I want to be able to log in and play. Counter-Strike Source is the perfect example of a balanced gameplay.
Well, I've got another example for you. Pick any Street Fighter game. These games have no unlocks in them, but why do people come back and keep playing them? Because the mechanics are there. Because it's fun to create new tactics with the tool sets that you're given. Now, here's another problem I have with the unlockable thing. Is that you stand to lose something. You stand to lose time and effort. And let me clarify what I'm saying here. I was playing Transformers War for Cybertron this week in preparation for the Double XP weekend that's coming up. That is this weekend. And I think it was two mornings ago, I sat down to play the game. Three times I had my opponent disconnect because I was in the lead. And what happened there is not only I had a great amount of XP stored up that would have been deployed at the end of the level. I would have gotten my unlocks. I would have gotten all the stuff. But because my opponent has to be dickless and has to shut off the game because they don't think that I should be winning, I've lost the time that I've spent gathering that XP. You see what I'm saying?
They are fixing that.
Supposedly they are. But at the same time, I'm sure that War for Cybertron is not the only game with unlocks that has that problem. Rage quitting is always a problem, but it's worse of a problem when you lose time and effort. That is horrendous, and that is, to me, inexcusable. I don't want time I spent playing a game to mean nothing. At least in Street Fighter, when I play the game, it's not that I'm gaining experience in the game. I'm actually, physically, me, the player, gaining experience, because I'm learning how to play the game. I don't want my avatar to gain experience. I want to gain experience. You know, I want to become more skilled. And I think there's a fundamental disconnect in understanding what it means to gain XP as opposed to have experience playing. There's a fundamental disconnect between those two concepts that I think needs to be addressed in game design.
Yeah, I've always hated it.
Yeah. I mean, we understand that in certain game types, it's acceptable. In stuff like Dungeons & Dragons and stuff like Final Fantasy, it is a reflection of how long your character has been playing the game.
But they're single player. They're single player.
Yes.
The problem,
yes.
The problem comes from, right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem comes from, it's bad enough. Like, for example, I used to love playing real-time strategy games. Mm-hmm. If I was to now try and get online and play a real-time strategy game, say, for example, Supreme Commander 2, which I've thought about picking up for a little while,
uh-huh.
Or say even Command & Conquer Red Alert 3.
Uh-huh.
I can't do it because I'm not skilled enough to mm-hmm. compete with the people in that game. I'm not skilled enough, right?
Right.
Now imagine if there was for example, say Red Alert 3, you only got the such and such unit after you play the game for so long, which I think is actually a problem with Command & Conquer 4.
Mm-hmm.
Command & Conquer 4, I think you unlock stuff in the single player to use in the multiplayer, in the skirmish, which is complete bullshit.
Yeah.
Right. But anyway. So imagine that, yeah, exactly that situation. I can't compete now with someone online because he's completed single player and he's got such units. I just wanted to have a quick game. Now I complete single player, but he's played campaign, he's played multiplayer 15 more matches than me. I can't beat him to get enough XP because he's been playing from the start.
So it's rewarding. It's not rewarding your skill, it's rewarding the time you've spent.
It's rewarding when you bought the game.
Yeah. And I really
don't
like
that. If you buy the game on the day of release,
mm-hmm.
you've got a distinct advantage over the guy who has to wait 3 months before he has the money to buy the game, or wait 3 months for it to come down in price or something, because mm-hmm. he can't get it. And it pisses me off.
Yeah.
Honestly, it really does. I hate it, and I hope it ends from games. I hope it's such a minor thing in Halo Reach. I don't mind them mm-hmm. having a scoreboard of XP and it gives you armor or stuff to make your character look different.
That's fine, in fact,
because that actually is, that's a trophy percent. I've played the game for so long,
yeah,
and that means I've got this armor.
But it
and
does not a, it that, does not affect how good you are at the game.
No. And it's a fair encouragement to let people join the game, because if you don't care about that stuff, you won't care about keep playing. You only rewards people who actually enjoy the game, because it won't affect your game at all. And I love that. I love the fact that you do that. I think you do that in Halo 3. I'm not sure. I haven't played much Halo 3 online because I'm shit. But I just don't want it in there. I really don't. What do you think, Sean?
I agree.
Thank you,
Jamie?
Sean. Is Jamie here?
Well, see, I really have no opinion because I don't play online.
No, but at the same time, Sean, I mean, you have to think that you're getting an Xbox 360 soon, and
yeah.
you get into these games, and you're going to be the total new fish in the game. You know, you're going to be the guy who's just come in. Do you think it's fair that somebody can just run over you, not just with the experience that they have, but with a weapon that you have no chance of fighting back against? You know,
No fairness there. No fairness.
Right. Now, as opposed to stuff like Halo, in Halo, when you gain certain types of experience, what the game does with that experience is it matches you with people of similar experience, meaning that Bob and I, if all three of us randomly connected to different matches, Bob and I might be paired up against each other. Sean, however, would be paired up with, let's say, Jamie, because Jamie just bought the game too. Sean and Jamie would pair up together, and they would learn the game together. There's nothing to earn, but you learn the game together.
And it's also a fantastic way to stop people, because what used to happen is
mm-hmm.
back in the day of PC gaming, now children settle down for an old man story. Back in the day of PC gaming, you used to have different servers for different quality of player.
Yes.
Now, they used to be called things like newbie server, fan server, RPG server, depending on the type of game you're playing, depending on the type of server.
Mm-hmm.
And used to have casual servers and hardcore servers and stuff like that. Now, the problem with this is dickheads used to go in the newbie servers and spank them and think mm-hmm. they were something special. Forget the fact that, one, the newbies didn't think they were special, and two, anybody else went, you're just being a dick.
Mm-hmm.
We don't care. The way that Halo got it to work is that you can't undo it unless you set up a new account, which means you've then got to pay for a new Xbox Live account, which means you are mental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you delete everything you've got in your, you delete all your saves. No, even then, if you delete
why
all your saves in Halo, would that
why
kill
would
you online?
That?
I know,
no,
I'm just
no,
saying.
I don't think it does. Because if you delete all your saves, I think your XP and your profile are still saved to, I think, your Xbox Live profile. So I don't even think that's a remote server thing.
Yeah, no.
That is true, because I think when I moved Xboxes, when I bought my new Xbox, and I bought over a copy of Halo 3 ODST, I still had, like, all the levels I had cleared were there. I could select all the levels I had cleared.
Cool.
Even though it was
that means it's wonderful, because it means you cannot abuse the youngsters in the game. And I think that's a brilliant example of what's right about it. However, Modern Warfare 2 doesn't do that, and Sean would hate it.
Yeah, I think when Sean gets online, I think we'll probably tell him to get War for Cybertron, because, I mean, he's a big Transformers fan, and we will probably just play online.
To be honest,
and stuff. But
I don't play Modern Warfare 2 anymore.
Yeah.
You don't really play it anymore.
I keep it around for the single player, because I actually do sort of like the set.
Yeah, but you don't play the multiplayer anymore, do you?
No, not really. I have not had the impetus to play it in a very long time. And I haven't even done the stuff like prestiging or anything like that, because I just don't see the point.
Oh, there's no point. It just does my head.
Hey, Jamie, are you sound quality yet? Are you up?
Yes, I'm back now. Sorry, my mic decided to do an impression of a lemming and die on me.
Actually, let's round off the show. Jamie, you had something you said you want to talk about in Retro Corner this week?
Yes, I'm going to talk about a rather, I suppose you'd say it would be an obscure Nintendo game. In America, it was called MC Kids. In the UK, it was called McDonald Land.
Oh, God. I know this game. Why do I know this game? So go ahead, Jamie. What have we got to talk about?
It was an interesting little platformer that came out for the NES about 1992, made by Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
It made games like Terminator and RoboCop. And although a lot of elements were definitely nicked from Mario, it was quite a nice little platform game, and the graphics for the time were absolutely awesome.
I do remember it being quite good, actually.
You had a choice of two characters that you could play. I don't think they actually had names. And basically you go around different levels collecting cards to be able to get to the next map for different characters out of the McDonald's universe, and some quite weird ones as well. Like, as I can remember, on the last level, there was an alien thing.
Wasn't there a professor of some kind who didn't actually show up in anything McDonald's related after that?
Yeah, that was the other one.
Yeah, just weird characters that they started throwing. When you say the game nicked a bit from Super Mario Brothers, I remember it nicking quite a bit. In fact, some of the designs of the boxes, I think, like the music box design, was directly lifted from Mario Brothers.
And having to grab floating M's that spun kind of like, I don't know, coins?
Yes.
How'd they get away with that for a licensed game? For that matter of fact, how was this game marketed? Was it like just buy it in a regular store? Did you have to like do something special at McDonald's to get it?
You had to give Ronald McDonald a blowjob.
No, it was just out of normal retail as far as I know.
Probably got some kind of points or something in the box when you bought it, you know, free Happy Meal or something.
That particular version of the game was only on the Nintendo. There was a completely different version for the Mega Drive or Genesis.
Yes, and that had you playing as Ronald McDonald, and it was developed by Treasure, who also did Gunstar Heroes, which, Sean, I told you about this morning. That is a fantastic game.
Yeah.
Treasure makes some fantastic games, and I remember the one on Mega Drive and Genesis. That was a masterpiece of game design. Well, you mean as far as a game about McDonald's can be.
Yeah.
So Jamie,
well, I want a Happy Meal.
Oh, shut up. So Jamie, what's your opinion of McKids on the NES? What would you give it now? What is your current review of it?
What rating system are we using?
out of 10 fries.
I'd give it 8 out of 10.
8? Really? You have it in that high regard?
Damn, now I want fries.
didn't the Angry Video Game Nerd do an episode about this game?
Yes, he did.
And he ripped it apart.
Yeah, he didn't seem to like it very much. And he doesn't seem to like anything very much.
Yeah, but he did say that for a platformer, it wasn't too bad. There was a lot worse.
Mm. Yeah, there are a lot worse.
It just needed some sweet and sour sauce.
Oh, God. Sweet and sour sauce at McDonald's? What the hell?
Yeah, hey. Sweet and sour sauce on McDonald's french fries rocks.
You have way too much time on your hands, Sean.
Dude, I found this out when I was, like, a kid.
Still. Wow. The fact that you would keep that knowledge with you to this day, that's just weird. So, yeah.
Hey. And also, I've watched things where people take the french fries and dip them in vanilla shakes.
Oh, that's just gross.
I agree with that. It's just... ugh.
You know what's better? When you take your fries and you put them on the burger?
Oh, no, that's good.
That shit's awesome.
Or what's really good is you buy the food and you eat it.
I don't understand you, Sean. I don't think I ever will.
Hey, I'm an enigma wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in a question.
You're wrapped in bacon is what you're wrapped in.
And bacon. Really good bacon.
Oh, God.
Damn, now I want a bacon sandwich.
I'm sorry I started them on bacon. I'm sorry, everybody.
Stop it.
Are you getting hungry, Bob?
Yeah. Maybe.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to make me some bacon-wrapped bacon balls.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You know what? He probably will.
Yeah, just don't ask whose balls.
The end of the day, it's okay, because he's just trying to die of a heart attack by the end of the day.
One heart attack, clear!
Oh, yes.
What heart attack, clear? What? I know what you're trying to do, but seriously.
Well, folks, I think we might as well wrap up this episode. I don't see it getting any better after this. We kind of miss Moon and Alex. I wonder what they're doing today. I think Moon was busy.
Well,
Alex.
Actually, Moon? I just saw Moon? On Twitter, Alex got home from his comic book shop and a Transformer blew, and they're without power.
Oh, damn. Okay, well, Alex has a good reason for not being here. I think Moon is probably working today, so he has reason for not being here.
I think Moon is off attacking... what's his name? Tom McShay.
Ah.
Moon's hunting down to...
I thought he was hunting Peter Molyneux.
No. We don't care about Peter Molyneux.
Hey. We all have to be truthful here. He's just having a wank.
Oh, God.
Wow. Classy. Classy way
keep
to
it classy!
Shut up, Dudley. Nobody likes you.
Everybody likes Dudley.
Take your blue rose and go on.
Only
it's not a
blue rose, it's
a red
I'm
base.
Just going to pimp something else out.
Yes.
On the Nerdsphere, there's a new podcast called The Heroic Age. I suggest you download it and give it a listen, because I'm on it, and I'm awesome.
Yeah, that wouldn't be totally self-serving there, would it?
Oh, sorry, Mr. Tomopop. I write in Tomopop. Hey, Tomopop, good. Let's go to Tomopop. Hey, I love Destructoid. Destructoid. Oh, my editor. Oh, how I love you. Please come here. Let me give you kisses. Toya.
I knew you were going to do that. That's why I gave you the setup.
Oh, yeah. Because I'm a bastard.
Oh, yeah. No, but I actually haven't listened to Heroic Age yet. Is it? What did you guys discuss this week?
I think we mainly argued that Marvel was better than DC. Well, two of us did.
Mm-hmm.
And poor Astro was on his own.
Is Hot Rod G1 on that podcast? Because, you know, Hot Rod G1's a huge Marvel fan, and he's, you know...
No, he's not. It was me, Alex,
mm-hmm.
A young guy, listens to our podcast, Astro.
Mm-hmm.
That's his little cotton socks. And the host was King Grimmie, who's perfect as a host, because he's a guy who knows a bit about comics, but not a lot of the ins and outs, and he just listens to us talk about what we like and what we don't like. Basically, the main thing we talked about this week was good graphic novels and stories we recommend.
Excellent. So, but what was the name of it? The Heroic Age?
The Heroic Age, yeah. It's on the Nerdsphere.
Guys, you can check that out at the Nerdsphere, just as you can check us out on the Nerdsphere. To plug us a little bit more, you can find this podcast at dudewaitwhatpodcast.blogspot.com. You can check us out on Podomatic. You can subscribe to us on either one. And you can reach us via the blog, via our Facebook page. We're Dude Wait What Podcast on Facebook. Leave us messages, leave us notes, leave us stuff that you'd like to hear on the next podcast. And on the weekends, you can probably catch us gaming, but you'll have to, you know, ask us individually for our gamer tags. And if we like you, we'll say yes. If we don't like you, we'll say shove off.
Well, as Toya will do every now and again, he'll get into a massive grump. And he'll delete everyone from his friends lists and only add the odd person back on.
Damn right!
Bit of chlorine in the gene pool.
We must rid ourselves of those who would not do better.
Oh, damn, there goes Jamie.
Well, that's a point. Yeah, Sean, actually, that's a good point. Don't bother getting a 360.
I'm going to get a Dreamcast. There we go.
I love
you know what? You know what? That would actually be the most modern console you own.
Oh, low blow.
Zing!
Low blow.
Hey, Bobby. Fuck off.
No.
And on that note, I think we should bring the proceedings to a close. So let's all say goodbye one by one. Jamie?
Catch you on the fucking flip side.
Catch you on the flip side. Me. I'm a smurf. Me.
Shut up. Sean?
Catch you on the flip side.
Me. I'm a monkey. Me. Look at me. My stupid curly hair. Me.
Bob?
Hello.
And this is me, Toya, saying goodbye, everybody, and remember, catch you on the flip side.
Oh, fuck off.